CQ, CQ. This is the Blue Ridge 2-meter net. Your net controller tonight is KQ4GWP. Just in promotion of the amateur radio, this net is called Nightly Event of an Emergency. This net will be activated. It's located atop Caesar's Head Mountain, about 2 miles south of the North Carolina-South Carolina border near Highway 276. The repeater is at an elevation of 3,500 feet. The repeater is owned and operated by the Blue Ridge Amateur Radio Society, and all amateurs licensed to operate on the frequency are invited to check in. Formal traffic, announcements, or bulletins for the net, please call KQ4GWP or Net Control. Nothing heard. We will now begin the roll call. This is a directed net. All stations with or without traffic are invited to check in. As you check in, please give your call, name, location, and signal your intent to remain on the net for the RAG 2 portion. Tonight, we're going to begin with those who use the pre-net check-in on the website. All right, starting on the pre-net check-in, I'd like to welcome AA4GH. That's Mr. Gus down in Punta Gorda, Florida. Next, I'd like to welcome KC4WGG. That's Mr. Patrick in Rome, Georgia. Next, I'd like to welcome NC9V. That's Mr. Leon in Hendersonville. Next, I'd like to welcome KE4DXJ. That's Wendy in Hendersonville. Thanks for checking in tonight. Next, I'd like to welcome W2AMD. That's Mr. Andrew in Simpsonville. Then we have K4XMR. That's Mel in Prosperity. Next, I'd like to welcome KO4ZEW. That's Mr. Ben in Simpsonville. Then we've got KG4PFI. That's Don in Piedmont. And KG4QLQ. That's Miss Linda in Piedmont. We've got KB2BYQ. That's Mr. Dave here in Easley. Then we've got K4RYL. That's Ryland in North Charleston. Thanks for checking in with us tonight. Then we've got KC4W. That's Mr. Bill in Anderson. Hope you're having a good night. Then I've got KI4LZI. That's Andy in Table Rock. And KF4CKT. That's Mr. John in Honeyapath, South Carolina. And then we've got my brother, K4HNR. He's enjoying his vacation on the coast of South Carolina tonight. Thanks for checking in tonight. Then we've got KQ4ZWS, that's Christine in Traveler's Rest. And finally, we've got W4IOE, and that's Sydney in Fletcher, North Carolina. Thanks for checking in with us tonight. Thanks, everybody, who used the pre-net check-in. Hope you guys have a great night. Okay, next, we'd like to welcome all Echolink stations, calling all Echolink stations only. If you'd like to call KQ4GWP or Net Control.
Net Control, kindly check in Kilo Charlie 4, Papa Lima Tango. That's KC4PLT, Richard in Pendergrass, Georgia. Good evening to you and everyone on the net. I'll be negative and negative.
All right, I'd like to welcome KC4PLT. That's Mr. Richard. And thanks for checking with us tonight. I hope you have a good night. And next, before we start with the RF portion, I'd like to welcome any new hams. If you are a new ham and if you've never checked into the net and you would like to do so, just send your call sign and I will do the rest. Are there any new hams that would like to check in? If so, call Net Control. All right, nothing heard. So we're going to move on. We're going to start off the night, since it's Tuesday, with the India through Lima group. If the first letter of the suffix of your call sign begins with India through Lima and you'd like to check in, please call KQ4GWP or Net Control.
K4GWP. I'll get used to that over the time. This is KK4JFO, and I am James upon this mountain in Tuxedo, North Carolina. And this is where I'm going to be negative and negative. Say 73s for each one of you.
Net Control, please check in at a turn. Kilo Golf 4, Whiskey November, Papa. Landing via Echo Link, Liberty, in and out.
Kilo,
Charlie 4. Mike, Foxtrot, Kilo. We make our home in Greer. Marcus, in and out, please. Everyone have a good night. 7-3.
This is KQ4GWP with the Blue Ridge 2-Meter Net. I'd like to welcome KK4JFO. Thanks for checking in, Mr. James, up from your mountain in North Carolina. Hope you're having a good night tonight. Next, I'd like to welcome KG4WNP joining us from Echolink. That's Mr. Landon. Thanks for joining us. You have a good night, too. And then we've got Mr. Larry, KK4JBQ, with his wife Donna, KC4MFK, down in Greer. Thanks for checking in, you guys. Hope you have a great night. Is there anybody else? India through Lima. India through Lima, call KQ4GWP for net control. Nothing heard. Let's go ahead and move on to the Mike through Papa group. Mike through Papa, if you'd like to check in, call KQ4GWP or net control.
GWP. Check in, WG4MC. This is Matt West from Greenville County. Be native and native, 7-3 to you and all the nets.
Check in, Kilo, Kilo 4, Oscar, November Oscar, Lorena, and my husband, Kilo, Kilo 4, Delta, Mike, Whiskey, Rick. We're both in Piedmont, both be negative and negative, and by telephone relay, please check in our daughter, Kilo Mike 4, Mike Oscar, Quebec, Michelle. She's West Joel's and should be negative and negative.
And Kilo Oscar 4, November Uniform Echo, KO4NUE. My name is Chad, and the location is a deer camp tonight. Thank you for calling the net, sir. I'll be in and out tonight.
This is KQ4GWP Hayden with the Blue Ridge 2-Meter Net. I'd like to welcome WG4MC. That's Mr. Matt in Western Greenville County. Thanks for checking in tonight, Matt. Hope you have a good rest of your night. And KK4ONO, Miss Lorena from Piedmont, brings along her husband, KK4DMW, Mr. Rick. Thanks for checking in tonight. I know that we can always count on you guys to join us. And thanks for bringing along through telephone relay your daughter, Michelle, KM4MOQ from Wearsholes. Hope you and your entire family have a great night. And then finally, I'd like to welcome KO4NUE, Mr. Chad, from a deer stand. I wish you the very best of luck tonight. Is there anybody else from the Mike Through Papa group? If you'd like to check in, go ahead and call KQ4GWP or Net Control. Nothing heard. Let's go ahead and move on to the next group. That's going to be Quebec through Tango. If the letter of your suffix begins with Q through T, go ahead and call Net Control.
Q4GWP. Good evening, Hayden. This is W4SBX, Whiskey 4, Sierra Bravo X-Ray, Brad in Simpsonville, and I'll be negative and negative.
Q4GWP. Scan Kilo Oscar 4, Romeo Alpha X-Ray, Jim in Dacusville, and I'll be negative and negative.
Q4GWP. Please check in Kilo Oscar 4, Quebec, Lima. KO4QOG, this is Chris in Liberty, and I'll be negative and
KQ4TWP, N0TR, November 0, Tango Romeo. My name's Tom, and I'm located in Greer. Good evening to you, and thanks for calling the net. Good evening to you and all on the net, and I'll be negative and negative, sir. Good evening, Chris.
Hello, Tom.
This is KQ4GWP with the Blue Ridge 2-Meter Net. I'd like to welcome W4SBX. That's Mr. Brad in Simpsonville. Thanks for checking in tonight. Hope you have a good rest of your night. Next, I'd like to welcome KO4RAX. That's Mr. Jim in Dacusville. You have a good night, sir. Then we've got KO4QLG. That's Mr. Chris over in Liberty. Thanks for checking in tonight. Hope you're having a good start to your week. And then we've got Mr. Tom. It looks like he showed up just in time. That's N0TR. Tom from Greer. Thanks for checking in, you guys. Anybody else? Quebec through Tango. Call Kilo Quebec 4, or sorry, KQ4 GWP or Net Control.
Kilo 4, Tango Romeo Juliet. Be the cap, man. I'll be negative and negative.
Check in W4AAW, Whiskey 4 Alpha Alpha Whiskey, Dennis over in Hart County, Georgia, be negative and negative.
This is KQ4 GWP with the Blue Ridge 2-meter net. I'd like to welcome KK4TRJ, it's Mr. William. Thanks for checking in with us tonight. And W4AAW, Dennis from Hart County, Georgia. Thanks for checking in with us tonight. Hope you guys have a good rest of your night. Let's go ahead and move on to the Uniform Through Zulu group, U through Z. Go ahead and call KQ4GWP or Net Control.
We're GWP. Nice to hear you tonight. Please check in N4ZLK. November 4 Zulu, Lima Kilo. Shane in Cleveland, no traffic, no table. Thanks for calling the net.
Q4GWP. Hayden, as Tom Petty once said, you're going to put me out of a job. Please check in, KQ4WHN. That's Kilo, Quebec 4, Whiskey Hotel in November. My name is Mark. I'm in Greer. I'll be negative and negative, but listening for all the conversation.
This is KQ4GWP with the Blue Ridge 2-meter net. I'd like to welcome two individuals from this group. We've got N4ZLK. That's Mr. Shane in Cleveland. Thanks for checking in, Shane. Hope you have a good rest of your night. Good to hear from you. Then we've got Mr. Mark, KQ4WHN from Greer. Thanks for checking in, Mark. I know we're all having a great time. Anybody else from Uniform Through Zulu, go ahead and call KQ4GWP or Net Control.
4GWP. This is Kilo Oscar 4 Victor Mike. Name is Allen and Greer in Greenville. From negative to negative.
Welcome KO4VM. That's Mr. Allen in Greenville. Thanks for joining us tonight, Mr. Allen. You have a good rest of your week. Let's go ahead and move up to the top of the alphabet. That's going to be Alpha through Delta. If the first letter of your suffix of your call sign begins with A through D and you'd like to check in, go ahead and call KQ4GWP or Net Control.
KQ4GWP. Good evening, Hayden. You're doing a good job. Please check in Whiskey 4 Delta Juliet Whiskey W4DJW. Dave and Greer, negative and negative.
For GWP. Thanks for calling the net. Please check in. KI4DOS, Gary. Also, K3JOY. That's my pretty little bride joint. We're at home and easily. No traffic, no chew tonight. Good evening to you and all on the net.
Please check in. November 4, Delta, Julia, Charlie, N4DJC, Jerry, and Anderson, negative and negative. Good evening to everyone on the net.
Kilo, Romeo, 4, Delta, Bravo, Romeo, JR4, DBR. This is Bo and Easley, and I'll be negative and negative.
GWP. Kilo Romeo 4, Alpha Charlie Romeo, KR4, ACR, Terry in Moore, South Carolina, negative and negative. Good evening, Hayden.
Good start to the Alpha through Delta group. I'd like to go ahead and check in to begin with W4DJW. That's Net Control Manager Dave in Greer. Thank you, sir, for checking in tonight. Thanks for the opportunity to do this. I have a blast. Next, we'd like to check in KI4DOS. That's Mr. Gary, our Wednesday night control operator. He's in Easley with his wife, Joy. That's K3JOY. Thanks for checking in tonight. I hope you and Miss Joy have a great start to your week. Next, I'd like to check in N4DJC. That's Jerry and Anderson. Thank you for checking in, sir. You have a good rest of your week. Next, I'd like to welcome KR4DBR. That's going to be Mr. Bo in Easley. It's a good name, sir. That's what I named my son. Then I've got KR4ACR. That's Terry in Moore, South Carolina. All right. Let's do one more time for Alpha through Delta, A through D. Go ahead and call KQ4GWP for net control. Nothing hurt, so we're going to move on to the patient group of the night. That's Echo through Hotel, E through H. If you'd like to check in, please call KQ4GWP for net control.
Net control. November 4, Hotel Charlie, and 4 and Taylor's negative and negative tonight.
4, GWP. Please check in Kilo Oscar 4, Hotel Kilo X-ray. KO4HKX, that's Patrick. I'm at home in Penrose, no comment, no traffic tonight. Thanks for calling in.
4 GWB. Tanada, please check in. Kilo Charlie 4, Echo Zulu November. KC4 ECN, Harry in Kenner, North Carolina. I will be negative, negative tonight, Aiden. Thanks.
This is KQ4 GWP with the Blue Ridge 2-meter net. I'd like to welcome N4HHZ. That's Mr. Warren in Taylor, South Carolina. Thanks for checking in tonight, Mr. Warren. You have a good rest of your night. Then we've got KO4HKX. That's Mr. Patrick in Penrose. Thanks for checking in tonight, sir. Hope you have a great rest of your week. And then we've got KC4EZN. That's Mr. Harry from Candler, North Carolina. All right. Hope you gentlemen have a good rest of your week. Let's call one more time, E through H, Echo through Hotel. Go ahead and call KQ4GWP.
Please check in KQ4GIV, Dell in Gallinsville, and I'll be negative and negative.
All right, we'd like to welcome Mr. Dale as KQ4GIV from Gallinsville. Thanks for joining us tonight, sir. And let's go ahead and open it up to the whole alphabet. Let's go Alpha through Zulu, Zulu through Alpha. If you'd like to check in tonight, call KQ4GWP for net control.
Please check in Kilo Oscar 4, Juliet Kilo Victor, KO4JKV, Duncan in Asheville, and I'll be negative and negative.
This is KQ4GWP with the Blue Ridge 2-meter net. Thanks for joining us tonight, Duncan. That's KO4JKV joining us from Asheville, North Carolina. Thanks for joining us. I'm going to do one more time before we close up the net. It's going to be anybody with a Alpha through Zulu, Zulu through Alpha. Go ahead and call KQ4GWP or net control.
DH212.
Would you mind repeating your call sign one more time? I had a hard time understanding it. This is KQ4GWP.
Control. WSDH212.
Would you mind saying that phonetically? I'm still having a hard time getting all that.
Sierra Delta Hotel 212.
GMRS, call sign N4ZLK.
That's GMRS. Not allowed on frequency. KO4NUE said that.
So I figured. Thanks, guys, for helping me out. Well, whoever that was, go ahead and send your name. I'd like to welcome you anyway. GMRS frequency, whenever you get your ham radio license, go ahead and join us back. We do this net every night at 9 p.m. Anyone else, Alpha 2 Zulu, call KQ4GWP. We'll get you checked in here tonight. All right, nothing heard. We're going to go ahead and put a bow on this one tonight. Please stand by while we send the net report. KQ4GWP now securing the Blue Ridge 2-meter net. With our thanks to everybody for checking in, we will now return the repeater back to normal amateur use. 73s, and good night to everybody.
DOS, KO4NUE. Or DOS, KO4NUE. Nothing heard. KK4JBQ, KO4NUE.
QE, this is KK4JBQ. Hello.
So what's going on, young man? How are you?
I'll do in a pinch. It's good to hear your voice. I hope you had a good field day. I caught some of your conversation with another. I don't remember exactly who that other was right now. But sounds like you've been busy around the camp. and I suppose the cleanup isn't done as yet, I suppose.
I don't, Helene did a lot of damage. Me and Chris have been off and on working down at the lower portion of the range trying to fill in this big washout. It's, oh, I don't know, probably down where the range is, it's kind of like a little horseshoe. And when river jumped its banks, it basically just cut off, you know, a portion of the range, just made it an island, you know. It's probably, oh, I don't know, maybe 50 feet across, maybe a little more. And I'd say probably 10, 15 foot deep in places. And I'd say maybe about 100 yards long. You know, that's a lot of dirt. So we've been in, the water was moving so fast it washed most of the sand with it. So we've been kind of scrambling, trying to figure out where we're going to get all this dirt. But we got half of it filled in, and then this heat wave moved in. We just kind of backed off a little bit.
It's best that you should wait out this heat wave, especially to do any physical work. You can't put enough water back in your body to, you know, where it needs to be fast enough, because the humidity is what makes it difficult here. 100 degrees where I came from in the mountains in Tennessee, that wasn't unheard of. It was rare, but it wasn't the, oh well, anytime you turn on the weather channel, you know, you'll get a bulletin about the danger of being outdoors in this weather. And of course it's going to mean a lot of expense for cooling, because you just can't let your house get, you know, soupy. Well, the way you describe how it cut, you know, it cut up the land, you know, are you going to have to, oh, what's your desire to remedy the situation there?
Initially, we just got enough sand to build a little road so you could at least get across, you know. And then I brought the Bobcat and the Traco up here to straighten the ditches out and just do some general work, you know. And decided to go ahead and start filling in. And me and Chris work pretty good together. I know Bobcat's got a small bucket on it, so, but it's quick, you know. I move buckets full of dirt pretty quick, and I just pile it in a big pile. And then Chris comes behind me on the dozer, and, you know, I'll take 7 or 8 buckets full of dirt, and he comes by with the dozer and just, it takes all 7 or 8 loads at once and just pushes it into the hole. So it works out. Old dozer's slow, but it moves a lot of dirt. And Bobcat's quick, but it doesn't move a lot. So we're just trying to do little bits at a time. But it's just, the hole's so big, it's just a lot of work. A lot of fuel, a lot of time. A lot of wear and tear, but that's just, you know, we just chip away at it. That's all we can do.
I reckon that's right. That's all you can do. I'm sorry that had to come from out of nowhere, so to speak, and the damage that it did everywhere. least up in that region. Well, it's possible, I suppose. It's within your imagination that you'll get it better than it was, right?
I don't know about that. We'll just do the best we can do. I'll leave that right there. But the reason I'm calling you tonight is I need to have a discussion with you tonight about lithium-ion batteries, otherwise known as LiFePO, I guess. Tell me what you know about these things.
I use a number of them. I know they are a little different to take care of. If you're going to store them for a while, they should be stored at about 75 to 80%. And that's a handy little thing. It came to me when storing all of our computer devices, whatever it be, if it's a laptop or something like that, you shouldn't store it with a full charge. You shouldn't store it with a 10% charge, you know, but about 75 to 80%, and it'll store for years. It's quite true. So running it down, probably below 20% of charge. I don't like doing that because it could be that I will forget my old device. And next time I see it in 3 months, it'll be flat. And that's not good. I don't know why it does that, but that chemistry is a little finicky. More than, you and I have used carbon zinc batteries, haven't we?
Yeah, it's KL4NUE with KK4JBQ. I swapped out the batteries in the grid down here. They've been down here for, I don't know, maybe 10 years. Maybe. And so I decided I'd upgrade to lithium ion. And, like I said, I've been coming up here for 8-10 years or so and have never had an issue with power. I woke up the other night about 2 o'clock in the morning, no power. Nothing. Not even a little green light on anything. So, I'm a little frustrated with these things for what they cost. And some of it may be just trying to learn more about them or what, you know. Little lithium packs in a cell phone and things like that, that's one thing. But these things have got a BMS on it, a battery management system. They've got a Bluetooth nodule on them so you can link your phone with it and see, you know, what the thing's actually doing. And I don't know. I don't like not having power. I mean, I've worked pretty hard on this grid, and I honestly think I'm gonna go back to AGM, be honest with you, because there's too much maintenance or too much to learn. I haven't decided yet.
JBQ, I'm sorry that it worked out that way. If you had been keeping an eye on them, I can't understand how it was that they're, from what you're telling me, they're flat or have very little charge. Is that right?
Not exactly. It's some of it's my fault. You know, AGM or sealed lead acid, you know, you think of it this way. if at 12 volts, well, how do I say it? When you're dealing with lead acid batteries, a dim light, because voltage is low, is better than no light. With AGM, with these batteries I've got in here, with the battery management system built into them at 12.2 volts, it shuts the battery down. It's off. You know, no power, and it does that to protect the battery. But I don't know about that. When you kind of in the situation I am here, a dim light is better than no light, right?
I think I have a picture. It's a very sketchy picture, but I think I got it. So it comes to you to that you find your battery is down around, it's getting close to 11 volts. Well, it's true that the, and there's several kinds, of course, but most of them follows this convention. They have a really good power curve until they get to the end of their power curve, and then they fall off like you're falling off of a ledge. It's straight down. And so in order to increase their longevity, to keep them healthy, because no battery, and especially a lithium battery, likes to be below its, a certain level of charge. And that's what that power management system does for you. It's really strong, holding a level output until it gets to a point where it just drops, quickly drops. Now, AGM does not do that. Yes, it does not do that. It will give it up to you until it goes flat. It'll get to 9 volts. It'll get to 5 volts. It's pretty much cooked by that time. But you use voltage because of the dim light. A lithium battery will not give you a dim light. It's giving you all it can give to a certain voltage, and then it drops. And that's what that does. I can understand now what you're going through. And maybe your application. Also, another thing, you have become accustomed to an outcome from another battery type, which was more along the lines of what you can live with, right? And so I don't have, if you're not going to change your mind about that, then I don't have a recommendation. They're good, but they have a window. And the window is where it is above that minimum level. Yeah, it's different chemistry altogether. And I'm talking right now on lithium batteries. And it's in a package which is a management system. I don't know how long I could go with it. It reports, it's got probably what you were talking about, this revolving numbers light show, giving you the level of the batteries, its output, what's being asked of it, and oh goodness, it just keeps rotating there. And I frankly do not know how to read that, what I should be looking for. I don't know that I could respond if I put a real study on it. Oh, anyway, it did well for me during Helene. For instance, it charged up our phones. Donna's was the one that was critical, you know. So it charged up our phones, and it, and I could do the net each night. I think we were without power here for like 6 days or something like that. And it never went below its level, you know. It stayed up around 12 to 13 volts, something around there. KK4JBQ.
So today I've been having just I don't know how to describe it. Squirrels have done a lot of damage. It's taken me a couple weeks to run all that down. I still got one circuit that's giving me a little bit of trouble. The BMS on these things, from what I can tell, if it's going to shut down at 12.2 volts to protect the battery, and you've got 13.4 to work with, that's not even a full volt. If I'm mathing, no, that's a little over a volt. A volt and 1.4 volts. Well, you know, that's not a lot, you know, especially when it's either on or off. But I will say that when it's in that curve, I mean the voltage is consistent. I mean I will say that, and they are lightweight, easy to get. You know, it's not easy to get to where I got these things. But that's about the only advantage I'm seeing. You know, it's dark down here. I ain't have a flashlight, nothing. So I think the alarm went off, a little buzzer or something. I didn't hear it. Tango heard it. He's standing over there looking at it when I was able to find a flashlight. So he must have been hearing something. I don't know what it was, but I didn't hear a thing. All I just knew, I didn't have any power. So it's taken me 2 days to do a little bit of studying, maybe three, to figure out what's going on. And then when I got up here a couple weeks ago, it's been a while since I've been up here, the charge controller, let me let my radio drop, Larry. The charge controller was offline. It was flashing a warning, so I didn't know what caused that until today. I got up on the roof and was inspecting the arrays, and found one of them with a blown diode, and it just wasn't putting out. So, you know, if it's going to occupy space on the roof, it's going to have to put out or get off. So, I was able to get that fixed. I had a spare diode. It wasn't the right size, but it's close enough. Got that in, and then I cannot get the voltage in it fast enough to get it up to where I need to have reserve for the night. Because I'll soak voltage in them during the day. And I've had the panels placed on the roof to accommodate that AGM. Now I've had to change the panels around. It's just a lot of work for what I'm getting. So I don't know. I'm going to try to see how it works next couple of days now that I've got the panel fixed, one of the panels, and see if it yields better results. But when I wake up in the dark again, they got to leave from here. I can't do that. But like I said, I just can't get the voltage in them fast enough. I can get it up to 13.5 volts. I need to get it to 13.8. I just can't get it there. I'm dealing with about, I think the highest I saw today from the arrays going into the controller was 8.9 amps. And that's all dependent upon the sun. So I'm thinking I need to get up in the higher amperage, which leads to, do I put the panels in series or do I put the panels in parallel? I got to experiment with that next. But I had all that figured out with AGM. But this is just, you know, I just got to figure out whether it's worth trying to figure it out or just put AGMs in. I'm not sure.
I like the way you're thinking. It is for those people who every day they have in mind, first of all, and uppermost, you have in mind what you're going to require of the system, what's going to be running on that system, how many hours will it be running, you know, and what the drain is. It's a lot of math, you know, and I mean, to design it in a smart way, you have to just do a little work, calculations. And that's really the only way to be successful with a solar power source, because as you have already said, it's not regular, consistent, dependable, because you're relying on a source that can be blocked out with clouds, just, you know, the hours of the day when you have decent exposure on the panels. But to answer your question, if you're going to just take regular batteries, positive on one end, negative on the other, if you put them in series, the positive end goes to another battery's negative end. And it's like that, you know. Just think of a flashlight. You go negative to positive or positive to negative as you're just looking at it. That increases voltage. If they're all the positives linked together and all the negatives linked together, then you're increasing the amperage that's available from your battery. If you've taken batteries apart, I suppose, and we call them batteries because that's what everybody calls them, but they're actually cells. A battery is a number of cells. A regular flashlight battery is not a battery. It's a cell. I hope that made some sense. A battery is a number of cells. So if you want 6 volts, you work that out, you know, and if you want 9 volts, you work that out to be at least that, and then you adjust that voltage with other components, which in and of themselves are pretty efficient and don't bleed it off, so to speak. If you have 7.5 volts and what you want is 6, you don't just throw away the rest of it. A battery management system is, you know, helpful there. I do think it's worthwhile to go a little deeper and understand what your needs are first. and then how to achieve that. It very likely will be more batteries because their capacity is going to speak to how many hours they can operate what number of devices. It's you're multiplying there. You know, the hours necessitates a larger battery, but also more devices would, using the same voltage from the same batteries, that would also require more batteries. And it's fine, you know, it's really fine when it's all worked out for you and all you have to do is just plug things together. That's really fine. But your need is, I think it's requiring that you study what the devices will do for you and kind of fit it to your need. But it's fun to learn. AK4JBQ.
Well, I've done the math, and I'm at 200 amp hours. But you divide that in half. So if you got 200 amp hours worth of battery, you can only count. You can only the formula. You cut that in half. So to get 100, you need 200. So that's the first thing to remember. The second thing is, and I replaced the AGMs with lithium, the same amp hour. But because I cannot dip on those cloudy days at 200 amp hours with AGM, I can sneak by with 2 to 3 cloudy days. So I'm thinking, okay, well, I'll replace it with 200 amp hours worth of lithium. Well, because of the BMS, I can't. Yeah, there's 200 amp hours of power under there, but it's a time thing. If the BMS is going to cut me off when I need to dip into those lean days, what's the point in having them? And so you can do that way, Jim. You can sneak by on those cloudy days, but you can't do that with this BMS. It'll cut you off. You're just done. And I don't know about that.
See where you're going with that. Yeah, and it doesn't seem, well, it wouldn't seem to be reliable for your need. And so adjusting what you're providing, you know, we think of battery with, we think of voltage from a battery as, you know, like sipping through a straw. And it's not quite like that. No, with the BMS looking after everything, it's sort of like you're in a race between what's required over what period of time and how quickly it can rejuvenate. And that goes to another component that you haven't spoken to, except I think you're disappointed with your solar array. And if you can feed a greater amount in there, see, they're capable of charging faster than a lead acid battery. And so you can, as long as it's balanced and it's working well, you're not gonna have a complaint. But if it goes wacky, especially if you compare it to the performance of another chemistry, it won't perform the same way. And it may be that you would do well to use those batteries with a, you know, I don't know if you have a battery backup in your shack, They'll work there too, you know. But and then use lead acid batteries for what they offer. You get them down to around a little below 11 volts, I think, and you've damaged them somewhat. Their capacity is reduced over time. And finally, you have a battery like what I've got in my vehicle, a battery that that won't start the vehicle. it's a mess. But I'm sorry it's vexing you like that. I have listened to, I don't know how many lectures on batteries and how to treat them so that they'll serve you in a way that is, well, minds of what you pay for them and what you expect of them, you know. But then holding that information, if you don't work with it every day, you'll forget anything, you know, unless something that you've been years and years at. I think I could still set a diamond. But if I were just learning how to do it, if I hadn't done so much of that kind of work, I would not be comfortable, you know. So if you're kind of stepping off into something that's a little new to you, keep working with it. And, you know, my advice is this is worth what you pay for it. You can talk to other people and they might have another look at it, another way of looking at it. But besides all that, it is good to talk with you. I hope everybody in the family is doing well. KK4 JBQ.
Here's how I'm feeling about them. Let me put it into perspective. You were raised on a farm, right? I'm assuming you walked behind a horse or a mule before, right?
Behind some things that really were not suited. You ever try to plow with a cow?
Okay. So the reason I'm asking that question is you understand you walk behind a horse or a mule, then you understand the importance of horsepower. So let's pretend I'm a salesman and I come to your house with this new horse. And I'm going to tell you that you're going to pay a little bit more for this horse that I want to sell you. But this is not a normal horse. This is a 500 horsepower horse. And it's all dressed up, looks nice. I mean, it's a lean looking thing. You can just imagine yourself walking behind this one horse that can do 500 horsepower's worth of work. And we agree on a price, a hefty price, and you pay it. And before I walk off of your property, after I take your money, I'm going to tell you, okay, that's 500 horsepower's worth of horse, but you can only use 8% of its potential. Now, does that change your perspective a little bit?
Of course it would, but that is, I don't know how exact the numbers are, but that is, in a way, what the deal is. It is what the deal is. And as I say, you can put several of these units together and have a greater capacity at the same voltage, at the same required voltage. You can have a greater capacity. And, you know, you have limiting factors surrounding you. You are pinned in by limiting factors. And it won't matter to the equipment a bit if you are going to require more of it, more from it, I should say, than it can manage to do. So I wouldn't get mad at it. I'd learn as much as I could about it. And in a sense, examine your expectations. They may be, you know, it's set in stone. You're not going to be happy until such and such a outcome is achieved. Well, if you can't move that, then other things have to move. The number of batteries that you have in parallel, giving you the same voltage but at a greater potential, you know, just coming from a different, from a deeper pool. I think of batteries as something that's, you know, like a bucket you fill up. And that's the way my head goes. Well, over time, I guess, I've struggled with trying to work with just numbers, but I'm not that terribly successful at working with just numbers. I lose my perspective. Now, other people can keep a lot more balanced, you know, and more balls in the air, you know, as they juggle. So I wound up using this one. I had in mind to use it remotely, you know. But I had another thing that I had not worked out and never did. I wanted to achieve a good rate of sending with CW, and just not worry too much about voice, but just using I have two maximum of 5-watt radios. I've got two of those things. And I cannot use either one of them in voice mode and get out very far. You know how all that works. So I thought, gee, CW would be the thing. And I tried and I tried and I took classes and I did everything I thought I could. And I finally had to give it up. It's a hearing issue for me. I simply cannot hear it. It's not a matter of volume, but perception. When we got longer to talk, I'll tell you a story about that that's make you cry. But suffice it to say that I'm using it not for its intended purpose, but it sure came in handy when we didn't have electricity for days. And we could get by, you know. We could work on daylight. We didn't have house lights. Nothing. When it got dark, we went to bed. And there was none of this staying up till just now past 10. We had used up our daylight and we went to bed. Well, we're back into the stretching our days with artificial light. And that's what you're trying to do there. I don't know exactly what your numbers are, but you can work with them. And you know, numbers, I trust those things. They will not, no matter how much you beat on them, they will not tell you a lie. And if you're trying to get an outcome, Donna's an accountant, and she says, well, that's what I worked. I worked to get an outcome. I worked for years, and I was paid good to do that management of money. And so rather than try to explain all of that, I says, okay, honey.